A Divine Comedy, A Good Omens Multivoice Podfic, written by Waywater and read by
Sky Simaru
and Jap. Chapter 5. Funny. Did you hear that? Summary. It's the night of the graduation showcase, in which Anathema has some offstage goals. '97, a Saturday night. Anthony J. Crowley swept his skinny, nervous fingers through his hair for the 100th time that hour, all the while murmuring under his breath. He tugged aimlessly at the bright red blazer with the rolled-up sleeves. He'd originally thought it was rather striking against his similarly collared hair, but now he felt completely fucking stupid. Golden, terrified eyes looked back at him from the mirror. Behind him, the bathroom door opened, closed, and Crowley heard the slight click of the door being locked. A pair of arms encircled his waist from behind, and a soft kiss landed on his neck. Crowley groaned, but didn't pull away.
Stop that. I'm trying to concentrate.
And I'm trying to make you feel better.
Fred replied, before returning to the act of kissing along Crowley's throat.
I don't need to feel better.
Crowley protested, but his body betrayed him, instinctively leaning back more closely against Fred, hungry for the touch.
Need to be good.
You're always good.
Crowley shivered at the words. It was all he wanted. Crowley looked into the mirror again. Two sets of eyes looked back at him. His own, so strange and burnished yellow, and Fred's, a soft, rich, warm brown. Fred spun Crowley around in his arms and pressed his lips softly to the other man's.
Hey,
Fred said, softly, suddenly a little pink in the face.
Whatever happens tonight, you're going to be great up there.
Crowley just nodded, tongue suddenly too heavy in his mouth. His heart beat wildly beneath his chest. He'd headlined before, dozens of times now, but never with a big deal agent in the audience. Tonight could lead to anything. A special, a tour, a sitcom deal maybe. He just needed to not fuck up.
And
Fred was still talking. Crowley reminded himself to shut his brain up and to listen. As opposed to comedy, this was new, this being a boyfriend thing. He wanted to be good at this, too.
I love you.
Crowley gaped at him.
You what?
I love you.
Fred repeated, face flushing a deeper crimson now.
And I didn't mean to tell you for the first time in a horrible comedy club bathroom, but I needed you to know now. Whatever happens tonight, agent or no agent, you still have me, yeah?
Crowley swallowed. Now, never. Wasn't the time to point out.
What if that's not enough? What if the love of one person will never sustain me?
It was something that he feared, overthinking bastard that he was.
I love you, too.
He managed to mumble. And he did. He really did. Fred smiled at him and kissed him again. Suddenly, there was a furious beating against the locked door.
Hey! Open the fuck up!
Fred hurriedly kissed Crowley one more time, smoothed his own hand over his partner's fire-red hair, and went away to the door. Crowley nodded at him and went to wash hands that didn't need washing.
Break a leg, Anthony.
Fred said quickly, and then unlocked the door and swept out of the bathroom. Crowley looked again into the mirror. He was 26 and nervous, but someone loved him, and why wasn't that enough to stop the horrible ache down in his guts?
Please,
he whispered to no one, to someone. He took one last deep breath and then walked out of the bathroom, made his way backstage, trying not to smile at Fred sitting alone in the front row, nearly retched when the booming music and MC's voice signaled the beginning of the show. Paced frantically just backstage throughout each and every other comic set, desperate for a cigarette, anything. And then,
ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm welcome to your headliner for the evening, Anthony J. Crowley.
Crowley pushed through the old shabby velvet curtains to thunderous applause and he killed. He was smooth. He was steady. Every punchline landed. It all went perfectly. So perfectly, in fact, that he was not surprised later on when, hovering near the bar, a whiskey ginger halfway to his lips, a tall, handsome American man clapped him on the shoulders.
Anthony J. Crowley.
He seemed awfully friendly. His smile was radiant. Crowley knew his name, but the smiling man offered it anyway.
I'm Gabriel Horn. And I'm an agent out in Los Angeles. Great stuff tonight.
Crowley leaned against the bar, trying very hard to appear cool.
Los Angeles, eh? Sounds sticky.
I suppose you're going to find out.
Gabriel continued to smile. It was almost unnerving, that smile.
I'd like to sign you and bring you out to Hollywood.
Crowley's insides were screaming, but he had years of pretending to be smooth and confident under his belt, so he said,
Always wanted to see that big bloody sign.
Oh, you'll see more than that. The world is about to be yours, Anthony J. Crowley. One word of advice, though.
And then he was looking just over Crowley's shoulder. Crowley turned, following Gabriel's line of sight to where Fred was standing by the stage door, looking handsome and kind and thrilled, nervously holding his hands in front of his stomach. As Crowley looked at Fred, Gabriel leaned into his ear and murmured,
Pack light.
Crowley was on a plane to Los Angeles the very next morning. He never saw Fred again. Present day, another Saturday night.
We have a situation on our hands.
Anathema said conspiratorially to him one afternoon across the counter at Jasmine Cottage. It was the day before the graduation showcase. Anathema slid Crowley his mocha. She just made it now, no questions asked. And waited for him to catch on.
Oh, do we?
Crowley drawled as he wrapped his fingers around the warm mug. Just as he brought the drink to his lips,
Are we going to ask those boys out or not?
To his credit, Crowley did not perform an actual spit take, though he did choke a little on the scalding chocolate coffee nonsense now burning its way down his throat. Anathema laughed at him, and Crowley glowered.
No, you're right. Your beloved teacher nearly choking to death before your very eyes. It's hilarious, device.
Beloved teacher?
You'd be nowhere without me.
and you'd be slumming it at a Starbucks.
Anathema replied. She was getting quicker, more confident. Crowley couldn't wait to watch her tomorrow night.
But to return to the matter at hand...
Look, if you want to ask out Tall, Pasty and Awkward, be my guest. He's clearly smitten with you. But whatever you're implying about me...
And Aziraphale...
Anathema leaned forward, her eyes fucking twinkling.
Crowley, you two are so cute.
I am not cute.
Normally, I'd agree with you. But when you're around Aziraphale, it's the cutest fucking thing I've ever seen. Tony, come on. You literally call him Angel.
Because I'm making fun of him. Because he's the most ridiculous thing on the planet.
Oh, gods and goddesses. Of course you would be the kid in the back of the class pulling their classmates' hair.
Anathema threw her head back when she laughed this time, and Crowley, unsuccessfully, fought the blush creeping up her skin.
Shut up,
he said, lacking anything cleverer to say.
Tony.
She could get away with it, because they were friends. So Crowley took a deep breath.
Yes, Anathema.
Anthony, Jay, Crowley, tell your angel how you feel.
Your angel.
Crowley took a careful sip of his mocha, letting the coffee slide down his throat, and stoke the warmth in his belly. Sunday. Anthony J. Crowley swept his skinny, nervous fingers through his hair for the 100th time that hour, all the while murmuring under his breath. He looked at his reflection in the mirror and scowled.
Why are you nervous? Pathetic.
The one prancer that Crowley had cultivated for the purposes of any sort of self-care and gentleness, well, it knew why he was so nervous. He was always nervous before a show, even though he didn't really have anything to do tonight beyond introduce his students and get out of their way. And fuck, he was nervous for them. He'd stayed up the night before trying to imagine what he would do if anyone haggled one of his students. Perhaps, surprisingly, Anthony J. Crowley had stayed out of jail this far into his life. But there was a first time for everything. And when he hadn't been awake imagining himself getting into a fist fight over fucking Hester's honor, he thought about what Anathema had said.
Tell your angel how you feel.
Anathema didn't know, of course. Didn't know how close Crowley had once come to happiness. She hadn't been around for star on the rise Anthony J. Crowley. She hadn't waved farewell to him as he departed for Hollywood, filled with promises and hopes to just ascend and ascend and ascend. To soar into the fucking stratosphere. She hadn't been there when he'd fallen. Crowley drew in a steadying breath. It was fine. It had been a long time ago. He had made something like peace with being a surely has-been. He had regular gigs at the club, and he had his handful of Twitter followers. He had still made it. He was a professional comedian. There were plenty of professional comedians who weren't also stars. It was fine. He was fine.
There's more that Anathema doesn't know.
hissed a violent voice in his brain. Crowley shut his eyes tight behind his glasses, willing the voice to shut the fuck up.
You don't deserve happiness, Anthony J. Crowley. Crowley the coward. This is all you get.
Crowley's thoughts wandered to Aziraphale. A strange, strangled laugh escaped from Crowley's throat. To think he would have gone completely deafy over a mad, fussy schoolteacher. 6 weeks ago, he would have called you crazy. Told you to fuck right off. He still didn't understand it himself. He pictured Aziraphale eating a dessert, and Crowley blushed and rolled his eyes at the same time. Aziraphale was ridiculous. He really was. But he made Crowley care. Made Crowley want to do better, to be better.
He also sort of tried to kiss you last weekend. Are we ever going to get into that? He was just drunk.
Crowley whispered out loud, eyes still shut.
He likes you. He likes everything. You're an idiot. Fuck.
Groaned Crowley, sliding his fingers through his hair one last time. He strode out of the bedroom, grabbed the container on the kitchen counter, and pushed his way out of the door, mind still decidedly not made up about anything. Backstage, Crowley unceremoniously set the container down on the tiny, falling apart green room table.
Apple tarts! Don't let your blood sugar dip. We've got magic to do tonight.
He winced as soon as he said it.
Magic to do? Good fucking lord!
As the rest of the crew descended on the tarts, Aziraphale looked at Crowley.
Did you bake these yourself?
Crowley scratched absently at his nose. This had probably been too revealing, the apple tart thing.
I suspect they're rubbish compared to Jasmine Cottages, but I figured I'd give it a shot. Something nice for your last class.
Aziraphale's brow furrowed for just an adorable moment, and then his eyes were wide with realization.
Is this why you smelled like apples last weekend?
He asked, mouth hanging just a tad open. Crowley now brought his hand to rub at the back of his own neck. Anything to do.
I'd really hoped you were too drunk to remember that.
Aziraphale reached out to touch his arm, and Crowley tried not to jump out of his skin.
Thank you, Crowley.
Crowley just nodded, his heart in his fucking throat.
It'll be strange not to be here next Sunday.
Aziraphale said, doing that adorable dip thing he did with his chin. Crowley nodded again.
I'll miss it.
Aziraphale went on quietly. Not.
I'll miss you, Crowley.
Possessed by something stronger than self-loathing, Crowley turned to Aziraphale and opened his stupid fucking mouth.
Aziraphale.
Bees burst into the green room, looking as harried as ever. They made eye contact with Crowley and gestured to their watch. Crowley checked his own.
5 minutes, you lot!
He called out, his voice an embarrassingly wretched thing. His five students, fuck, looked at him with panicked eyes. Fuck, should he say something? Fuck, the next time he did this, he was going to be better prepared. Something complicated twisted around Crowley's guts at the idea of a next time. Fuck, had this gone and meant something to him? Fuck.
Yeah, all right, come on.
He sighed and waved them all into the wings. They all huddled up in the wings. It was even tighter back there than on stage, but they made it work. They'd made it this far, after all.
All right.
Crowley put a fist in the middle of the circle.
You've all come a long way and worked really hard. You've got friends and stuff out there, so knock 'em dead, yeah?
They all nodded, terrified and beaming. Crowley swallowed. Fuck, was he going to actually say it? Had this turned into an 80s spot movie without his consent? He regarded his gang of scrappy never-do-wells, and he told them the truth, cliches be damned.
I'm proud of all of you.
A blare of familiar rock music enveloped the Ninth Circle Comedy Club. Showtime. After one last good look at the Aziraphale he once knew, Crowley walked out to the microphone.
Denizens of Hell, welcome to the Ninth Circle Comedy Club!
Crowley shouted at the crowd. It wasn't a packed house by any stretch of the imagination. Assorted friends and family members, Crowley assumed. A few supportive other comics that he recognized. Some random folks with unidentified motives. Bees, their arms folded and suspicious. Waiting for him to fuck it all up. All right, so like any open mic, really. Crowley made it through his opening banter more carefully than he ever had before. He couldn't remember the last time that the stakes of a show had felt so high to him.
These guys have all grown immensely over the past few weeks. Be fucking decent to them.
It's amazing how quickly they go, the nights that mean the most to us. Crowley was leading the audience in a round of polite applause for Newt before he knew what was happening. Crowley squeezed into the wings among the other students. They were all crowded back there together to watch one another, hardly daring to breathe. Crowley slid in between Anathema and Aziraphale. He folded his arms across his chest and tried to ignore the fact that they were so tightly packed back there that his shoulder and thigh were pressed very tightly against Aziraphale.
Because everywhere I go, I hold up traffic.
On stage, Newt landed the trite and true punchline about his car to a warm response from the audience. Crowley turned to peek at Anathema. Her hands were clasped in front of her heart, and she was looking at Newt like he wasn't just another dorky stand-up comedian. She was looking at him like he was something magnificent. Like he could save the entire bloody world. Crowley dared to turn to his other side to check in on Aziraphale. His marvelous eyes were wide and focused, and Crowley recognized the stubborn determination there. Crowley placed a hand lightly on Aziraphale's shoulder.
Breathe, angel, okay?
Aziraphale kept looking straight ahead, but he nodded and drew in a purposeful breath. And then he brought his own hand up to his shoulder to rest on top of Crowley's. Crowley had just slid his thumb out from under Aziraphale's palm in order to squeeze the angel's hand, but a sudden burst of applause brought him back to the task at hand. Hating it even more than he hated most things, Crowley forced himself away from Aziraphale's touch and made his way back to the microphone, clapping Newt on the shoulder as they crossed paths.
Newt Pulsifer!
Crowley shouted into the microphone, keeping the applause going. It was Hester next, followed as always by Lega. And damn, they really had grown. It wasn't just the usual audience abuse and Shirley observations. Hester did a bit about avocados that fucking killed, and Lega went on a nice extended rant about his pet chameleon. Crowley couldn't believe it.
What the fuck happened at the bar last week?
He whispered to Anathema.
Did you cast a talent spell on them?
She just shrugged wordlessly.
Hi.
Crowley nudged against her shoulder. She turned to look at him, eyes big and scared and brave.
Whatever happens tonight,
he continued, swallowing a little. Damn it, caring about people was a horrid business. She was still looking at him. Looking up to him, he realized, like a sledgehammer to the knees.
I hope you're not lonely anymore.
Love you too, Tony.
Crowley crossed to the microphone to keep the applause going for Lega.
Up next, give it up for Anathema Device!
Anathema walked out to the microphone, confident and shining. Crowley made his way back to the curtains, surprised at how easy it was to keep breathing, given how much he cared about her.
Oh, it's because I'm not worried about this one.
His trust was well placed. Anathema fucking obliterated. She was brash, she was political, she was relentless. She was a fucking wildfire.
Ladies and gentlemans, let me give you some dating advice. Give up on the pickup lines, I am telling you. Age-old prophecies are where it is at.
The small crowd cheered and laughed. Backstage, Anathema's classmate exchanged high fives and fist bumps, overjoyed at her success.
I'm Anathema Device. Good night!
Anathema walked off the stage and directly into Newt's arms, nearly knocking him over with enthusiasm. Crowley patted her awkwardly on the back before making his way back to the microphone. There would be time to properly celebrate later. The show wasn't over yet. Crowley didn't believe in anything, which is perhaps the only reason he did not issue a silent prayer for Aziraphale Fell as he crossed the suddenly vast distance between the curtains and the microphone. He believed in Aziraphale Fell, and that was enough. He curled his long fingers around the mic and brought it to his lips.
Denizens of Hell, please give your warmest welcome to Aziraphale Fell!
Aziraphale walked out to the mic. Maybe it was just the stage lighting, Crowley acknowledged, but he looked terribly pale, holding his little note cards against his chest, as if they could protect him now. Part of Crowley wanted to grab him and make a run for it. Couldn't bear to let Aziraphale stride into potential harm's way, emotional or otherwise. But the other part of Crowley was the one who had paid attention to Aziraphale's work over the past 6 weeks. The other part of Crowley was the one who had stayed up late in the night with him workshopping material. The other part of Crowley knew that Aziraphale would be fine.
He doesn't need you anymore,
whispered a miserable voice in Crowley's brain. Crowley shook it off. Tomorrow could be for him feeling sorry for himself. Tonight was about his students. He squeezed Aziraphale's shoulder as they crossed paths.
Break a leg, angel,
he murmured. Aziraphale nodded. Crowley sauntered into the wings, and that was it. Aziraphale was on his own. Anathema snuck up beside Crowley and looped an arm over his shoulders.
He's going to be wonderful.
I know.
Hello,
began Aziraphale warmly. The crowd did not respond. They didn't have to yet.
Do you know what really bothers me?
Aziraphale continued, chancing a glance at his note cards. Crowley nodded his head off stage.
That's right, Angel. Just like we practiced. Go on about the old books, sweetheart.
Aziraphale drew in a deep breath and let the hand holding the note cards relax at his side. Crowley noticed that his left leg was shaking as he stood there. Crowley bit the inside of his cheek to stop himself from running back out to the mic, grabbing Aziraphale by the waist and hauling him to safety.
I'll buy you every treat at every bakery in every neighborhood. Just be okay, please.
On stage, Aziraphale continued.
I was going to go on a bit of a rant about bending the spines of rare books, and that is a heinous crime, to be sure. But do you know what really bothers me, my dears?
Huh?
It bothers me to feel like a joke before I've ever even told one.
Crowley's eyes grew huge behind his glasses.
White, what?
Anathema squeezed Crowley's shoulder, drawing in her own surprised gasp.
And, my dear friends,
Aziraphale went on, removing the mic from the stand and stepping forward. Crowley was so fucking proud of him.
I do understand. I do look at myself in the mirror every morning, after all.
There were some cautious snickers from the crowd.
People who meet me tend to assume three things,
Aziraphale said, holding up three fingers.
One, that I'm English. Well, obviously.
Obviously.
Crowley repeated, thrilled. Where had this material come from?
Two, that I'm intelligent. In regards to my intelligence, I am flattered, but I'm not positive where this assumption comes from. Is it the bow tie?
He gestured to himself and looked to the crowd for their opinion. There were some visible nods and even some shouts of,
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Really? You do know there's no qualifying exam to purchase one of these, yes?
The audience laughed a little harder. Crowley's heart was about to outgrow his flimsy chest cavity.
Contrary to what the bow tie seems to suggest, I've actually done some frightfully stupid things. Why, on holiday in France once.
Oh, the crepe bit!
Whispered Anathema to Crowley. Aziraphale made it through the front story, and the audience followed him along for the journey, growing increasingly more vocal in their appreciation of his material. Well, not just of the material, of Aziraphale. But for his shaking leg, Crowley would have never known that Aziraphale was nervous. He had delved deep into his reserves of Shakespeare and teacher experience, apparently, because he was nothing but collected and confident up there. He rode the waves of laughter like a pro surfer. Crowley allowed himself the mental image of Aziraphale in a bathing suit and nearly blacked out.
But you know, my dears, the crepes really were worth it.
Aziraphale was reaching the end of that bit.
And the brioche.
Crowley had no idea what was coming next.
Let's see. That I'm English, that I'm intelligent, and what's that third one? Yes, of course. That I'm... I want to get the wording exactly right. That I'm gayer than a tree of monkeys, full of nitrous oxide.
Oh, it was the biggest laugh yet. That relieved laugh of an audience who had all been thinking the same thing and were delighted to find themselves proven correct. Everyone likes to be right.
First of all, what horrible creature is supplying nitrous oxide to these monkeys, I wonder? And second of all, yes, I am a gay man. I'll hold for your surprised gasps.
Crowley wasn't certain when it had happened, and he would have denied the whole thing later, but he now found his hand being held protectively by Anathema. She squeezed it at a zero fails declaration. Because Crowley had known, I mean of course he'd known, but to hear it said out loud so simply on the stage of a filthy comedy club.
Yes, I am a gay man.
Crowley breathed.
Allow me to be more specific, by the way. I'm not just any southern pansy. I am the southern pansy.
Not just laughter this time, but cheers.
Tony, are you crying?
Shut up.
He was.
It can be lonely sometimes to be an older single gay man. I mean, what do you think possessed me to go out and sign up for a stand-up comedy class in the first place? It couldn't have just been due to how tight Crowley's trousers are, could it?
At that, Aziraphil dared to look back into the wings. What he saw, to Crowley's horror, was a thoroughly unraveled, red-haired comedian holding his barista's hand and trying not to sob.
Really? Why did I sign up? Someone please tell me if you've solved it, because I'm still not sure that I know. And perhaps that's all right.
He took another step forward.
My point, I think, is this. No matter what anyone else assumes about you, each of you has something to say, whether you ever say it on a stage or not. When you do, I hope you have as lovely a time as I've had tonight. Thank you. I've been Aziraphil Fell.
It was the loudest applause of the night.
If you don't ask him out after this, I think I might.
And there were clever responses cooking on Crowley's clever tongue, but none of them mattered. Because he was walking back out onto the stage, he was walking to Aziraphil. He was wrapping his arms around the other man and hugging him so tightly that Aziraphil's feet bravely left the ground.
That's right, Angel. Keep flying. I'm so fucking proud of you.
Crowley growled into Aziraphil's ear.
Thank you.
Aziraphil breathed back. He was shaking all over now.
Don't go far. I just gotta wrap this up, yeah?
Of course.
Crowley let him go, held him at arm's length, loved him. Loved him. Crowley loved him. He let Aziraphil go and somehow made his way back to the microphone.
Aziraphil Fell!
He led the audience in another round of cheers for Aziraphil.
And let's give it up again for all of our comics tonight!
The audience cheered and hollered. Audiences had cheered and hollered at Anthony J. Crowley in a comedy club before now, but it had never felt like this. He never felt this good. He had never felt so much like maybe he deserved the praise.
Tip your bartenders. Good night.
Crowley practically skipped off stage, where he was immediately pulled into a triumphant group hug by 5 sets of very funny arms. The first round of shots was on Crowley. They all sat together at the bar in the back of the club.
Well done, guys. I should be able to show my face in public again after that.
Shut up,
Liga growled, but there was no bite to it.
Okay.
Anathema set her hands down on the counter as though she was about to start drawing up an elaborate plan.
Second location time. I requested tomorrow morning off ages ago, so we're staying up all night. Non-negotiable.
Everyone immediately nodded their assent. Crowley looked at Aziraphale with a bit of surprise.
No class tomorrow, Angel?
Aziraphale's face went redder than Crowley had ever seen it before.
I requested a substitute. If anyone at Tadfield Middle asks, I've come down with a terrible case of food poisoning.
His comrades cheered and patted him delightedly on the back. Aziraphale's smile, though shy, was radiant. Crowley grinned back.
Bit of a bastard move, isn't that?
Perhaps. But if you tell anyone, I'll join Twitter just to tell the world that the notorious at unhinged AJ actually baked apple tarts for all his students on their graduation night. Think of the scandal.
Let's go, friends!
Anathema clapped her hands at them. She placed a hand on Crowley's shoulder.
So, we'll all pile into Newt's car,
she explained, terribly casually.
And you can take Aziraphale, right?
Right,
Crowley said. He adored her, but he was about as subtle as a ton of bricks.
Great!
Anathema beamed. She leaned forward and hugged Crowley tightly.
Break a leg, Tony,
she whispered into his ear before letting go and flouncing off with Newt, Hester and Lega. Crowley and Aziraphale sat alone at the bar.
Aziraphale,
Crowley began, quietly, hardly believing what he was about to do, but then...
Aziraphale!
A new voice rang out behind them. Crowley turned in his seat to see a tall woman in a smart suit making their way up to them. Crowley frowned. He'd noticed her in the audience earlier. She looked sort of familiar in a way that felt like a warning deep in Crowley's stomach. Aziraphale, tipsy and glowing, greeted the stranger kindly.
Hello, Aziraphale.
She extended her hand to him. Aziraphale took it.
I'm Michael Archer, and I represent the End of the World Comedy Festival, coming up in Edinburgh next month. Do you have a moment to talk?
Aziraphale turned back to Crowley, a mix of emotions on his face. Confusion, surprise, delight, hope. Crowley smiled, though his insides had suddenly gone frigid.
Go on then, Angel. I'll wait for you outside.
And Crowley slid off of his bar stool and made his way to the exit. He would wait for Aziraphale. Of course he would. He thought perhaps he might wait forever for this strange, stunning creature. But noxious words from over 20 years ago snaked their way through Crowley's brain as he leaned against the wall of the club and breathed in the evening air.
Pack light.
Crowley wrapped his arms around himself and breathed and waited. To be continued in chapter 6.